Yo. What's up, everybody? How you guys doing? How you holding up? It's your boy, Ike Feldman, doing my thing, singing my sing. My goodness. What's up, everybody? It's Monday freaking afternoon in New York, Strong Island. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope everybody enjoyed the wonderful combat sports weekend. It was a pretty good weekend, pretty solid. Actually, very good, very good. Borderline great. Before we get to the action, the Crawford Porter recap, review, and the UFC Fight Night 198. I know I throw out the hashtags UFC Vegas 40, UFC Vegas 39. I believe that calling it what it is, what Wikipedia goes by, because that is 100% accuracy, right? It's a fight night. It makes it feel normal again. It brings me back to pre-pandemic times. I feel like the world has been on a boiling pot. Now the temperature has been turned down from a boil, but there is still a simmer. We are not completely out of this. We need to pull together, be strong, sing kumbaya, and be happy, enjoy sports, enjoy the free things, love, laughter, and family, friends, exercise. Yes, exercise can be free. You don't need a membership to Equinox or New York Sports Club. But calling it UFC Fight Night 198 at least makes me feel that things are close to normal. You guys can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook. Everything is at Iketagon, Iketagon. I just had the honor of being quoted in Jerusalem Post, which is a publication, as you guessed, in Jerusalem. They ran with my interview with Natan Levy, the only current UFC fighter on the roster. Unfortunately, the fight did not go his way this past weekend against Rafa Garcia. Great job by Rafa. Holy moly. Great will, great determination, great push in the final round. At least from a judge's perspective, taking the decision into his own hands. Great job by Garcia. Again, we're going to get into quick recaps of UFC Fight Night 198 and Terrence Crawford versus Sean Porter. But first, guys, I want to let you know this is my second take on the Twitter Spaces. I'm trying to turn this into a live digital radio podcast show platform with instantaneous reaction from you guys. You could pop in, pop out, drop some Stern-esque type of, I don't know. I worked in a radio station for 7 years, a very high end, technically speaking, and personality speaking radio station, very prominent in the radio business. And you were not allowed to do stern drops on the air. It was a dump. They would dump out of the last 10 seconds of the caller. Just for a guy saying Baba Booey. Because of the references to the great Howard Stern show. Well, we are not in a radio station. No, I am in my downstairs of my wonderful house. You guys can pop in, say whatever the fuck you'd want to say. Whether or not you last more than 10 seconds or 30 seconds will depend on you. But anything martial arts, combat sports related, positive life vibes, I'm your guy. So, Crawford versus Porter. What a freaking performance by one of the pound-for-pound greats in the world. Is Terrence Crawford the pound-for-pound great in the world? Is he? Is there such thing as two-way or three-way ties? Can that be possible in boxing? Can Terrence Crawford be tied with Canelo Alvarez and Tyson Fury as the pound-for-pound best in the world? A highly respected boxing personality who's mixed it up with just about everybody in the game, who is also a local to Long Island, but you could listen to his podcast anywhere, Inside Boxing Live. Dan Canobio believes that Canelo Alvarez and Oleksandr Usyk, who we just heard about because of his fantastic performance over Anthony Joshua, he believes those two boxers are higher than Terrence Crawford on the pound-for-pound list. Now, it's hard to argue Canelo being lower than Crawford. His sole loss on paper is to Floyd Mayweather. I'm sure you guys have heard of him. Floyd caught Canelo as Canelo caught Caleb Plant on the way up, undefeated, talented, someone that has a great highlight reel that can be sold. It was an excellent job by Canelo Alvarez stealing a page from Floyd Mayweather and putting Caleb Plant on his resume at this point in Caleb Plant's career. I believe Caleb Plant will be knocking on the door of multiple titles in the near future. The guy's talented, tremendous heart and will. And he just fell short against an all-time great in Canelo Alvarez. But I'm not here to talk about Caleb Plant. I'm here to talk about, is Terrence Crawford equal to Canelo Alvarez? I believe so. Though Crawford hasn't fought nearly as tough a competition as Canelo, Crawford is undefeated. Crawford, I believe he has 29 knockouts in 38 fights. Pretty good. And it's too easy to bring up the Triple G Canelo 1 fight, where somehow Adelaide blind-ass bird saw Canelo win 10 of 12 rounds, essentially making it a draw, forcing the rematch. That Canelo did win. But he didn't. He didn't win. He has two career losses, but they came against unbelievable competition. Gennady Golovkin and Floyd Mayweather, that's pretty freaking good competition. Terrence Crawford shut out a dangerous, explosive, a guy who's built like a brick shithouse in Sean Porter. Shut him out. Shut his explosive blitzes with a heavy overhand right. Porter connected on one of those. It's lights out. But Crawford, who wasn't fancy, didn't do many stance switching, which we've seen in past fights against lower competition. Crawford respected Porter, was patient, confident more than anything, picked his shots, waited for his moment, and then leaped on a bit tired and a bit vulnerable prey in Sean Porter. Now, I don't disagree with the stoppage, especially when you find out that Sean Porter, his father's in his corner, Kenny Porter, who's a poet when it comes to words, whether that's motivating words pre-fight or smooth, classy, stern words in a post-fight interview in the ring with the world watching. I think Kenny Porter did an excellent job at setting the narrative why he threw in the towel. And I think it's justified. First of all, it's his son. Nobody knows him better than his son. As he said, they live across the street from each other. They're going to have breakfast the next day. Stephen A. Smith had a problem with Kenny Porter calling out his son, Sean, saying that he wasn't in the best shape. He didn't listen to every bit of advice that probably could have helped him in the fight. Okay. Take him at his word. He is the father of this excellent boxer, Sean Porter, who's mixed it up with welterweight greats, 147-pound greats before Terrence Crawford. Faced all the champions in welterweight. At 34, Sean Porter faced Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Andre Berto. Never been finished in his career before Terrence Crawford. So, how good is Terrence Crawford? Does Dan Canobio need to see Terrence Crawford beat Errol Spence, Keith Thurman, before he puts him above Canelo? Now, the biggest gripe I had with Dan's tweet about not respecting Crawford enough to put him on the same plane as Canelo. He left the Gypsy King out of the mix. Tyson Fury, who after 13 years, Vladimir Klitschko had this dominant reign where nobody could stop him. Tyson Fury stops him, wins the belt, goes on a crazy binge, comes back, destroys Otto Wallin. Figures out the code that is Deontay Wilder. And he's not a pound-for-pound great. He's not in the top two. He's not in the top three. Boy, oh boy. I might be out of the boxing loop. Am I missing something here? I believe it's a three-way tie. I believe you can have Terrence Crawford undefeated, Tyson Fury undefeated, Canelo Alvarez, amazing resume, all tied for 1A, 1B, and 1C in the world's best pound-for-pound boxing debate. Now, I'm getting into boxing. Followed all the big fights for the last 5 years, but I'm getting more into it to learn more about the Shakur Stevensons, the Jamal Herrigs, the Sean Porters, Lomachenkos, obviously Teofimo. And as a new fan, a new hardcore fan of boxing, I need a good presentation to tune in. And I think nobody presents better than Mark Kriegel. Shout-outs to Mark Kriegel. And Max Kellerman. Now, call me biased. Maybe it's because they're two New York natives and I understand their slang. It's language. But they speak to me. Not only with their words, but with their cadence, their passion, how much emotion they bring to the microphone each and every time they open their mouths. And if you guys don't follow boxing because you don't understand it, listen to Max Kellerman and Mark Kriegel speak on everything. And Dan Canobio as well. He is the future. He's the future for boxing media. They will get you so wrapped up into boxing, you almost forget about MMA. But shout outs for them for bringing up the pound for pound debate. They said fans need to know and boxing analysts need to recognize that pound for pound great doesn't necessarily have to do with a fighter's popularity. Not a popularity contest. It's who's the best on paper. And I think it's disrespectful if you're not putting Tyson Fury in the mix, if you're not debating intricately with concrete evidence who's better over the three, Crawford, Canelo, Fury. That's where it stands. Teofimo's got two more fights to go. I'd say he's top 10, no doubt. After the very strong performance against Vasily Lomachenko. But he's not there yet. He's not on the Terrence Crawford level, who showed just... You hear the term traps, boxers set up traps, Floyd Mayweather sets up traps. Terrence Crawford set up a trap, and Sean Porter fell through the leaf trap. You know in the movies when they dig a ditch, they put a net and they put some leaves? Sean Porter fell face first into that trap twice. He backed into it. Fell into it, climbed out, fell back into it. Terrence Crawford set up beautiful traps. Beautiful step back uppercut. Beautiful sweeping right hook. Amazing performance from Bud Crawford, the Nebraska native. I didn't even know they had boxing in Nebraska, but what do you know? It truly is an international sport. I'm going to move on to the UFC Fight Night 198. Caitlin Vieira versus Miesha Tate. Caitlin Vieira didn't necessarily put herself completely out there and pull the trigger to make herself vulnerable against Miesha Tate. She played it smart. I forget her coach's name. It's the same coach as Jose Aldo. Guy's got great hair. He even picked Caitlin up, who's probably 150 pounds after she rehydrates on his shoulders. He's not a young gentleman, so that was pretty impressive. Shout-outs to him. Caitlin Vieira displayed outstanding boxing and timing, and that truly was the deciding factor. Her cardio, obviously, That way she could withstand the output and the accumulation of damage, because Misha Tate was coming and coming and coming the whole time. She didn't back up. She was marching Vieira down. But Vieira, like Jose Aldo, beautiful box. Beautiful lead box with the jab, the hook. Powerful. Misha Tate looked like she was turning into a lobster. Her face was bright red. Caitlin Vieira was picking her apart. Yes, on the run, backing up. But the number one thing is damage, not control. If not a single punch was thrown, nobody lands a punch for 25 minutes. It'd be the worst fight in the world. Francis Ngannou versus Derek Lewis. But Misha Tate would have won that because she was charging and pressuring Caitlin the whole time. But while Caitlin was backing up, she was landing punches. Fantastic. She's the number six in the world. Holy moly. After nearly 5 years off, Misha Tate returns and faces the number six in the world. Pressures her the whole time. Chases her down. Lands a couple good shots of her own. Looks strong. When she got a hold of her, she seemed to win the grappling exchanges, Misha Tate. But once Caitlin felt Misha's skill and strength on the floor, she avoided that for the rest of the fight. It was an excellent job by Vieira and team to get the win over former UFC champion Misha Tate. For Misha, take your time. Get another fight. I do want to see the Tate-Nunes rematch, because when they fought at UFC 200, it was a blowout. Nunes was climbing the mountain of notoriety. She's still on top of the mountain. Misha Tate, she was looking at the peak of the mountain before climbing the trails, and she misstepped against Caitlin Vieira, but she will reset. You could see it in her eyes. She enjoys being in there, and she's in phenomenal shape. Better shape than the pre-retirement 5 years ago, 2016. For Vieira, she's one more big win from a title fight, no doubt, against Amanda Nunes. She could even argue that, hey, if Misha Tate beat me, she would have got the title, so let me get the title after Amanda Nunes fights Julia Pena and wins. Yes, I said win. At UFC 269, December 11th. For the rest of the card, Adrian Yanez put on an amazing performance against Davy Grant. Very smart, very calculated. Picked Grant apart from the outside like Vieira with the jab. Yanez is on the rise. It's Yanez and Sean O'Malley in that division. The dark horses in that division. Who's going to get top 15 first? We'll find out. Sean O'Malley fights December 11th, the same card as Amanda Nunes. He kicks off the pay-per-view. If he wins, maybe he gets a top 15. If Yanez wins, maybe he gets a top 15. Maybe they fight each other. That'd be great. Combat Sambo American? Pat Sabini got a huge win. Every time I mention Combat Sambo, it's after an OV. It could be a Magomedov, Ankalaev, Habulov, Nurmagomedov, Makachev. Usually when I bring up Combo Sambo, Combat Sambo, it's usually with the Dagestani, a Chechen, or a Russian fighter connected to it. But Pat Sabini, a Pennsylvania native. Shoutouts to Pennsylvania natives and Yingling. Pat Sabini, unbelievably dominant performance, great grappling, neutralized every threat that Tucker Lutz was trying to generate with the power double leg and then phenomenal back taking. Combat Sambo, folks, it is the future of mixed martial arts and could be an Olympic sport very soon. Sean Brady, dominating win for 95% of the fight against Michael Chiesa. Michael Chiesa pulls a Rocky move on the Philly native. In the last 30 seconds, does a beautiful judo hip toss. Jumps or climbs to side control and then mount. Starts unleashing heavy ground and pound. Man, 10 more seconds, the fight might have been over, but Sean Brady keeps his record intact, undefeated, 15-0, cracks top 10 in the welterweight division, you believe? This guy's stocky, he's calm, he's composed, phenomenal jiu-jitsu and grappling, obviously, and some of the craziest and coolest tattoos. Go check out Sean Brady's tattoos. Very cool. So, guys, again, follow me at Ike Feldman on Twitter or at IKETAGON, at Iketagon, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Go to my website, iketagon.com. See some stuff I've done in the past. I appreciate the time. Guys, I love you. This is my second. Let's see. I did the last spaces at night during the Thursday night football game. I got a couple people popping in. I had trouble bringing them up to hear them talk. I think not a single one of you guys popped in now. Maybe everybody's in their office job. Maybe everybody's not in the mood to talk or noon on the Long Island Standard Time. But I love you guys. Stay cool. Stay classy. Let's be friendly. Enjoy the fights. Do your fighting in the cage, in the ring. Not on social media. Not in the streets. And have a good day, everybody. Peace.